Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Royal Watcher podcast. My name is Saad Salman. I'm the fan editor of the Royal Watcher, a royal contributor for L.com, and a royal commentator. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest.
Hello, Colin, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in royalty.
Sure. So I've been interested in royalty ever since I was about 8 years old. One day I was just curious sort of who the first king was, because growing up in Canada, I was of course aware of the monarchy, although at this point just the British royal family. And so I just sort of started searching around on the internet, and from there just sort of learning all about the British royal family. And then of course through Queen Victoria and many intermarriages, that sort of then led into the other European royal families. And it's just so fascinating how even to this day, they still remain so interconnected. I just graduated from university with a history degree, where it was great because I got to write many papers about different areas of royal history, which was just so amazing to be able to indulge my passion like that.
That's wonderful. And you said that you graduated from Queen's University.
Yes.
Yep, I actually have a connection there because my dad did a second master's there a couple of years ago. So we lived in Kingston for a year. We have really fond memories.
Oh, no way. My mom went there as well, and she was quite angry because she graduated in the spring of 1991, and Charles and Diana visited for the 150th anniversary of the university in the autumn of 1991, so she just missed them.
Oh, that's so sad. So tell us a bit about your account and kind of what you do on there.
Sure. So I started the account almost 2 years ago now. It just began out of boredom, and then just sort of, I had all these pictures saved on my laptop that I just thought like, oh my gosh, these pictures are gorgeous. And I just really want to be able to share them. And then especially a lot of my friends who aren't interested in the royal family follow it. And it's sort of, I guess, a way that I almost educate them, because then when I'm just sort of ranting about this, they sort of have somewhat of an idea about what I'm talking about. It's great because I've been able to sort of connect with other people who share the same interests and just sort of find all these other beautiful photographs.
Yeah, I think that's really a big part about royalty for me too, is connecting with the visuals, especially in photographs, and seeing not just in current events, but in past royal events, kind of how they projected this grandeur. And really, that's one of the most interesting parts of royalty for me.
Exactly, yeah. Especially seeing, say, a photograph from 100 years ago, and you're like, hey, there's that brooch, which is still worn to this day.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts. And like, I myself have, like you were talking about having pictures on your lap, I have, I think, around 10,000 photos of royal like events, jewels, and then there's so much stuff. And quite a lot of it probably won't even like make it into articles and stuff, but it's just cool things that I notice and then I keep on. So it's like, I think one of those things that really unites royal watchers everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so this month we had quite a couple of major anniversaries of big royal events. One of the big ones was the 85th anniversary of the wedding of King Frederick of Denmark and his wife, Queen Ingrid, who was born Princess of Sweden. Mm-hmm. And they had quite a lot of, and I covered this quite extensively on the Royal Watcher as well, and there had a series of balls in Sweden, and then they had the wedding there, and then they came to Copenhagen where they had more galas and events. So I wonder if you've seen, like, probably you've seen quite a lot of pictures in there, and what's your views on that?
Yeah, I think it was a gorgeous wedding. And it was interesting because it was sort of the beginning of the tradition of Princess Margaret of Connaught's veil being used, sort of the first wedding other than hers where it was used, and now we know that it's been used by all of Frederick and Ingrid's female descendants, as well as Crown Princess Mary. So I think it was great to see the beginning of that tradition. The diamond daisy brooch, which was then worn by Queen Margrethe on her wedding, and she continues to wear as well. And I mean, the wedding was, I guess, as the couple was so well connected, to Prussian royal families, British royal families, etc. Just seeing those, all the guests, Norwegian. It had a great turnout, I guess you could say.
Yeah, there were, I think that was one of those really amazing royal gatherings that just like stays in history. And I think like, especially because for me, I think, you know, I was on exchange in Copenhagen this mm-hmm. semester. And so I had access to some Danish archives, and I was able to go through the pictures of that and really like find some really fascinating stuff, especially high definition pictures of the gala dinner they had and then a gala performance mm-hmm. the evening afterwards. And it was just amazing to see kind of all the tiaras. And it's like, I think you might remember last year, there were two royal tiaras auctioned. One was the Fabergé Aquamarine, and there was the other one that belonged to the Prussian royal family. And that they were basically, they were owned by two sister-in-laws, and they were auctioned within 2 days of each other. And both of those ladies wore those two tiaras in that picture. So it's just really amazing, like tying it all together.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess would that have been, if I recall correctly, Princess Ingrid is wearing the ruby tiara before it was made larger. So would that have been the first instance that she then wore this piece, which went on to become so connected to her throughout her life?
Yes, it was the first instance. And I think that was because Queen Alexandrine wore the tiara kind of for one major portrait, and that's kind of the only evidence we found of that. Mm-hmm. And so it was really, and before that, we don't really have any visual evidence of the tiara or the pearl being worn. So I think that is like one of the major kind of instances in the life of that set.
Yeah, and then even just like looking at that front row, there's so many recognizable tiaras, like Princess Sibylla, I believe, is wearing the cameos.
Yes. And she wore her aquamarine kakoshnik the evening afterwards. So really, and I think if you've seen that documentary on the Danish royal jewels.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. So, tip. And I loved how really they tied it up at the end, and they were like, oh, yes, we've covered all the tiaras in this picture. And it was just fascinating to see that. Mm-hmm. We also saw the anniversary of the wedding of King Juan Carlos and Queen Sofia of Spain. And they had a really amazing gala the night before their wedding at the Royal Palace of Athens, which again was one of those major royal occasions, and they had guests from all around the world. And I did a big article on that last year when I found a bunch of colored photos. And actually I updated that because I found some videos. And so I added GIFs in that article, and it's really amazing to see kind of everyone coming down the stairs and all the jewels glittering, and it was just such a major occasion.
I think that the scene of all the guests coming down the stairs is such sort of an iconic thought when you think of like Greek royal events in the 50s and 60s. You just picture that staircase.
Yes. And actually that's one of those things, because a couple of years ago, Prince Charles and the Duchess of Cornwall, they went on an official visit to Greece, and their official dinner, they had to come down the same stairway. And it was like a probably a surreal moment for Prince Charles, because he was there for like the wedding of King Constantine, and like 50 years later he's coming down the same staircase but in totally different circumstances.
And there's that, yeah, isn't there that photo of him coming down the stairs with Juan Carlos and Sofia?
Yeah.
Yes.
So and like next week we have the 80th birthday of King Constantine. Mm-hmm. And I, in ordinary circumstances, we would have had quite a lot of, probably some big celebration, especially because it was so close to the wedding of his daughter.
Exactly.
And so we would have had some celebration, but now it's quite unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, I believe, wasn't it on the 1st of May that the Greek royals did that Zoom call with the whole family? So I think, I imagine they'll do something similar, which will be lovely to see.
Yeah, that would be quite lovely. And I'm pretty sure we'll see it commemorated somehow, probably even with other foreign royals as well.
Oh yeah, that would be nice to see. And I'm sure Pavlos and Marie Chantal and the family will have some lovely tributes on Instagram.
Yes, I am looking forward to that. And I also want to talk about, so you said we have had a couple of royal events that have been canceled. One of the big ones was Queen Margrethe's 80th birthday. And now that we're entering into, I think, the fourth month of lockdown. So we have, we had two major royal weddings that were supposed to happen this month, which have been canceled. And one of them is Princess Beatrice of York, and the other one is Princess Theodora of Greece. And we know that they're quite big royal gatherings that would have been. But what do you think we would have seen kind of that we're missing out, and which we'll probably eventually see anyway?
I think what probably would have made the most headlines at Princess Beatrice's wedding would be the return of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex to the United Kingdom. That probably would have grabbed the most headlines there. As for Princess Theodora, I mean, the Greek royal weddings are always very well attended. Even when Prince Nicholas was married in Greece, it didn't have quite the same number as the weddings of his older siblings in London, but there was still, even like for an exiled royal family, was still a large number, which I think we would have seen repeated with Princess Theodora.
Yes, that's what I think, especially because her godparents are kind of the cream of royalty. It's the late King Michael of Romania, the Crown Prince of Yugoslavia, Queen Elizabeth II, and Queen Sophia, and Queen Margarita. So really, we would have seen at least some representation of all of them. Mm-hmm. Continue.
Well, and then I guess Princess Eugenie's wedding in 2018 sort of had there was some, the Hanoverian royals, I mean, the Greek royals obviously wouldn't have been at Beatrice's if Theodorus was the same weekend, but I still think we would have seen maybe some of those German socialite royals that were in Harry and Beatrice's social circle probably would have attended this wedding as well.
Probably the Belgians as well. We saw her Prince and Princess Napoleon's wedding. So I think with Beatrice and Eugenie, they're quite closely linked to the foreign royal families and the European socialite circuit, mm-hmm. and rather than the main royal family. So it would have been really fun to see kind of who attended.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's a good segue to kind of the royal events that did happen this month, which I think we should start with discussing the royal baby in Luxembourg.
Yes, very exciting.
Yes, it was, I think, one of those things that was just really joyful in these trying times. And we've had, after 8 years of marriage for Guillaume and Stephanie, they had a lovely baby boy, Prince Charles, and who is going to be the future head of state of the world's only Grand Duchy.
Yes, and I think this will sort of be, I guess he's sort of the last heir apparent birth of this generation of crown princes.
Yes, and it'll be really fascinating to see kind of how he, because he is significantly younger than most of his peers, so it'll be fun to see kind of how close, because Luxembourg royal family is quite close to their other relations, so it'll be fun to see what happens.
I was very pleased with they picked a good traditional name.
Yes, and I think there were so many ways people interpreted, because Charles was the name of his great-grandmother and also her father, and so there were lots of ties.
Mm-hmm. I knew that Jean would be in there somewhere.
Yes, they were quite close to him. So. And it was really, I think that was one of the more joyful occasions. And we also had the 75th anniversary of VE Day. And we had really royalty from around the world kind of commemorating that. So what was your highlight of what you
had? I loved Queen Elizabeth II's message. I think it was very poignant with her hat on the table with the picture of her father. I think that they commemorated that beautifully.
Yes, it was, I think, really, because we saw the Norwegian royal family, they attended a ceremony in Oslo. Queen Margrethe of Denmark and the King of Belgium, they also attended ceremonies. The King and Queen of the Netherlands, they attended their annual kind of Memorial Day stuff in Amsterdam. And so it was really, because it was the first time we've really seen them outside of their palaces in a couple of months. And just really, in a way, making sure that this anniversary was commemorated in a way that is really marking it respectfully and honoring the sacrifices of those that are gone.
Yeah, there's those images of King Willem Alexander and Queen Maxima standing in an empty Dam Square in Amsterdam. It was very poignant.
Yes, and especially when you think about, because this is an annual event and usually there's quite big crowds there. So especially given that this was such an important anniversary and the fact that they still decided to continue with that, it's really amazing.
mean, it would have been nice to see another tiara ball like 1995 in London, but alas.
Oh, yeah. I was actually wondering if there would have been a major royal gathering in London this year for the 75th anniversary or not, because things have changed and maybe we might not have seen it, because we didn't really see anything major royal gathering for the World War One centenary.
Exactly.
Either. So it's like we live in different times, sadly, and tiara balls are not the norm anymore. But I would think that had there been some event, there would have been probably a gala or some concert or something that would have had some royals getting together.
Yeah.
Maybe for the VJ Day kind of events that they're going to have in August, especially for kind of further along in this crisis. Maybe there might, because they did say they were going to kind of combine the celebrations. So yeah. Let's have our fingers crossed. So tell us about kind of what you see yourself in the future, and then kind of what you're looking forward to in terms of royalty and then in terms of your account.
I guess I'm right now, having just finished and sort of looking at different career paths. And of course the path of journalism is very interesting, because then being able to go through it to be a royal correspondent and sort of more involved in that side of it, which I guess just maybe using my account as a way to sort of make connections to then go into that field. I guess with upcoming royal events, all of these postponed events, so hopefully that a lot of them are just postponed and won't end up being canceled. Like I was really looking forward to the state visit of the Emperor and Empress of Japan to the United Kingdom. So I'm really looking forward to whenever that will be rescheduled.
Yeah.
As well as, of course, the two weddings that would have been this weekend.
Yes, they would have been big royal occasions as well. So I think we do have some stuff to look forward to when this all ends, but I think at this point, we're not really sure when it will end and kind of what the world will be. So it's kind of good to keep our hopes up high and hope for the best.
Like you said, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. So it's been amazing having you on the podcast. And please tell everyone where they can find you on social media.
Of course. So on Instagram, I am at World of Monarchy. And thank you for having me on the podcast. This has been so much fun.
Yep, it's been a pleasure. If you'd like to be a guest or would like me to discuss a particular royal topic, please message me on social media or send me an email at royalwatcher@hotmail.com. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as The Royal Watcher, and also on royalwatcherblog.com, where I post daily articles. Please use hashtag royalwatcherpodcast on social media and tell me what you want me to talk about in future episodes. The podcast is now available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all other major streaming platforms. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay at home.